Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord. With the Lord's help, I will hopefully get through the remainder and the conclusion of the message on the communion of the saints that I've been sharing the last several broadcasts. And that word communion or koinonia refers to a mutual or a common participation or sharing in something. And we've looked at what the scripture has to say about that. And we've been looking, as we closed yesterday's broadcast, on the communion of the saints, that it was something that Jesus earnestly prayed for, that we would be one with Him as Jesus was one with the Father, that the world would believe that God sent Jesus. Amen. That's what He says in verse 21, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And then we experience a wonder communion or fellowship when we gather together in His name. And it's not just in physical presence, whether in a home meeting or in a church service, but I believe there is an actual presence and anointing of God that comes even upon this broadcast, because as we join our hearts, no matter where you are, whatever, you know, this broadcast goes past the Canadian border. You could be in Washington right now, you could be in Oregon or in many different parts of the San Francisco Bay Area. Yet as we come together in the Spirit, beloved, there is a communion, there's a fellowship that is real, that is undeniable. There's an anointing that comes because we choose to unite in the Spirit. And what do? I share the word of the Lord. And so in exhortation, there is a communion, exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And also as we pray for one another that we may be healed, confessing our faults. You know, the times we really blow it. And there's times, you know, I share with you, I've been discouraged, I've been down, but the Lord has been faithful to pick me up. And so let's look at some other scriptures. And I'm going to go quickly about what the Word has to say about this communion of the saints. There's communion in mutual comfort and edification. Praise God. You know, not only do I encourage you when I share the Word of the Lord, it's ongoing. I also experience comfort. I also experience being built up. Why? Because we're talking about the Lord. We're sharing the things of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, and 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And there's a communion in mutual sympathy and kindness. That scripture I shared, Romans 12 and 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Perhaps there's no greater expression of love. I mean, it's easy to rejoice when someone has, you know, a reason to be happy and we can just praise God with them. But I think love that is touched by the pain and the sorrow, perhaps loss of a loved one, sometimes there's absolutely no words that you can say except to shed tears with them. Because, beloved, death is the last enemy to be put underfoot. And the pain that comes, God never meant for us to experience death, natural separation. In the eternities, God, there will be no parting, there will be no separation. And so there is unquestionable pain and sorrow involved when we lose a loved one. And so the expression of tears and weeping with those that weep is a wonderful expression of that Christian love. Another of scripture in relation to mutual sympathy and kindness is found in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then, of course, there's the communion in prayer for each other. That occurs all the time with UCM partners and myself. Every day I pray for My Spiritual Family, 2 Corinthians 1:11, the Living Bible translation says, "But you must help us too by praying for us." This is Paul speaking. "For much thanks and praise will go to God from you, who see his wonderful answers to your prayers for our safety." Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And then, of course, there's communion in public and social worship. We've looked at that a little bit before with some of the scriptures I've shared, but Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Psalm 55:14 says, "We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." And then, of course, beloved, perhaps that which we may be most familiar with when you hear communion of a saints is found in partaking of the Lord's table, communion in the Lord's Supper. And I'd like to refer you to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and I want to start reading at verse 16. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion," or fellowship, if you will, koinonia, "of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Praise God. So you see, that's a beautiful expression. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," and it draws to mind our unity with the Lord and the fellowship that we have one with another. And beloved, you know, one of the things that you might never have thought of, but the Lord is pleased with our communion with one another. We actually can bring joy to his heart by obeying his word, by keeping the bond of peace as much as we're able, by striving to decrease that he might increase, to prefer one another in love, to allow others the ability, if you will, to excel and to receive the limelight. And the only way we can outdo one another or have a spirit of competition is in loving one another and doing an acts of service for one another. This sort of thing pleases the Lord. And when we do that, it's that koinonia. There will be a dynamic response in our hearts and our spirit, because the Lord will give a holy joy and delight in our fellowship. We'll just receive such a blessing because he is pleased. Psalm 16, verses 2 and 3 declare, "Thou art my Lord, my goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight." And of course, you may have already thought of Psalm 133:1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Romans 15:32 says, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." We don't often think of that, the great apostle Paul being refreshed as the Lord would allow them, by the will of God, allow them to come together. And so that's true for us. As we come together in the unity of the faith, we are also refreshed. And so, beloved, I've shared a lot of things, but when we share together in communion or koinonia in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the things of God. He marks this communion with his approval. Praise God. And there's just one final scripture I'd like to share with you, and that's found in Malachi. And you know, so often when anyone hears a preacher mention Malachi, they think, here comes an offering. And beloved, there's so much more in that book. But I want to just take a diversion for a moment, because recently I shared with UCM Partners an understanding I got in that very familiar scripture, Malachi 3:8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." And I shared this with the UCM Partners because I had a new revelation of that scripture. And so often, you know, this has been used so many times by preachers to sort of encourage, if you will, the saints into financial giving. But as in every single scripture, we need to find out what God is trying to say through that scripture. What is he trying to communicate? And the word says, I'm just going to share this with you as I shared with my partners, that all the gold and silver is his, the cattle on a thousand hills. Isn't that right? And therefore, when we think about what God just said, you've robbed me, how can we rob him of that which he already owns? It's already his. And we can gain understanding as we go on in that chapter with verses 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And so what is the Lord saying here? If the Lord's people will respond in obedience, then God will do three things. There will be meat or an abundance in his house. There'll be an overflow of blessings, and the devil will be rebuked, the devourer. And actually, this is the only place in Scripture where God says he will do it. At all the times, we're to take that authority, we're to take that place and rebuke the thief who comes to rob, steal, and destroy. But what is God saying here? He is robbed because if we don't obey him, he's deprived of the joy of seeing his servants blessed and satisfied. Psalm 35 and 27 says, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And so, beloved, what God has entrusted to us, we need to identify with God's heart and help carry out that great commission and love seeing others' needs met. Good stewardship begins with a full realization that everything we are and have originates and belongs to God. And to understand this scripture from this vantage point portrays a loving, gracious Father who is robbed and hurt because his great desire is to give. And if he spared not his own son, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? A final scripture I want to share in the 16th verse of Malachi 3, a beautiful passage in terms of the communion of the saints. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Isn't that precious? As we spend time talking about the Lord, it's being recorded in heaven. Well, God bless you. It's been a joy to minister to you. I invite you to tune in next time. And until then, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.